And in this description, as we said, Srila Rupa Goswami establishes Srimati Radharani as the topmost form of Mahabhava. And specifically states that when this Mahabhava, Madanaikya Mahabhava, accepts a form, that form is none other than Srimati Radharani. And that form, because it's a form, an eternal form, has certain attractive features, just as Krishna's name, his form, his qualities and pastimes. The same way Srimati Radharani, her name, is chanted even by Krishna himself. Sometimes Krishna in separation will chant Radharani's name because she's hiding herself nearby trying to attract Radharani, because she's experiencing mana, she's experiencing her anger and she's not coming. And then the gopis come to where Krishna is sitting, is chanting, and Krishna is asking, why is she not coming? And the gopis are saying, you must be chanting with offense. So even Krishna, he's always chanting Krishna's name. And chanting Radharani's name. She has a very beautiful form. And that form is described. What are the attractive features of the form? And the different ornaments that she wears that make her even more attractive. And the adornments. Which are placed on her body to by the gopis to even more increase her attractive form. So this name, form and her qualities, which are described here in this chapter, there are 25 qualities which she manifests, which attracts Krishna's mind. One of them is that she puts Krishna's mind in a frenzy, as we said before. He loses his mind. Yes. And of course her pastimes. These are not so much described in this chapter. Namely her features, attractive qualities and form and ornaments that she wears. So in the previous chapter, Srila Rupa Goswami established that Radha and Chandravali are the best amongst all the different leaders of the gopis. They're different Uteshwaris, and they were established to be the best among them. And in their group contains 10 million gopis each. And the scriptures say, this is the verse itself, text 1 and text 2. The scriptures say that the Rasa dance took place on the bank of the Yamuna River with 1 billion gopis. this, just accept it. These things that we hear sometimes, Rupa Goswami specifically, in his different of his books, it doesn't make a lot of energy to adapt what he says, because he's so much absorbed in Ras. It doesn't take a lot of energy to adapt what he says to the logical mind. He just relishes. He relishes. But the logical mind can't approach some of these things, and they need logical minds. And other of our acharyas have, Sanatana Goswami, in fact, was even, he was very expert in dealing with logical minds. It would say, described as Sanatana Goswami, he would go around to the different villages and he would meet the householders for their benefit. And he would get to know the householders, ask about their family, children, and just give advice. Of course, he did it all just to induce them to remember Krishna, but he was more of that nature. That Rupa Goswami was more just presenting it as it is. And if you read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and especially the latter parts, is he just presented all the different qualities, gave different examples, and different moods. And so here he just states that scriptures say the rasa dance took place in the bank of the Yamuna River. So he's quoting scripture. And the next verse, he says, of the two, Radhika is far superior. She is the very form of Mahabhava and excels in all qualities. And as we said, there are commentaries both by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Jiva Goswami. I'm going to read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. He says that Prema Bhakti was shown in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu to be filled with the highest bliss, Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma. Thus Prema is established as the condition for Rasa. Brahma Samhita established that the gopis are full of bliss, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. Mahabhava is the essential portion, the highest portion, after the stages of Sneha, Pranaya, and others in Prema Bhakti. Jiva Goswami has explained that this cannot take place without giving up regard for elders and Dharma. In other words, what brings the gopis to that most relishable platform of Mahabhava? They gave up everything for Krishna. They gave up social customs. They gave up Shastra. They gave up their family member. They gave up their shyness. They gave up their patience. All by social convention, good qualities. And they gave them up to have others find fault. The fact is that nice story comes to mind of Radharani, but one time she came to Krishna, she said, everybody's finding fault because of my love for you. They say I'm unchaste. What is the word? Kalanka, I think. Kalanka. Huh? Kalankini. Yeah, kalanka is quality. Kalankini. And Krishna. Understanding Radharani's anxiety, you know? He said, don't worry. I'll take care of it. Everyone knows the story. I won't go into too much detail. But as the story goes, that following day when Krishna was on the lap of Mother Yashoda, fainted, lost consciousness completely. And Mother Yashoda, of course, she was so distressed, what's happened to my son. And then Nanda Maharaj came, and word got out that Krishna fainted, lost consciousness. He must be so sick. And then the cowherd boys and others, they came, and they saw what was happening. Immediately, they started to disperse to look for a doctor. And they couldn't find one. A doctor, Mother Yashoda, she also had lost consciousness. So there she was, lying unconscious. Krishna's unconscious. Everyone's running looking for a doctor. What's wrong with Krishna? And there's this doctor, very attractive looking doctor, standing right outside. And he has all kinds of Ayurvedic medicines. And they can really understand it. You know, and he presented, he says, I'm a very qualified doctor. I can cure any disease. Oh, qualified doctor. Come, immediately, come. They're all desperate. It was actually Krishna. Krishna assumed the form of the doctor. And that's why he was so attractive. But he was disguised. And when he came and he assessed the situation, he said, I can understand what needs to be done, but there's one ingredient that I need. And unless I have this ingredient, whatever medicine I administer won't work. And they asked, what is it? What is it? Please, what is it? What do you require? He says that I require water to be brought in a pot that has 1,000 holes in it. And only the most chaste of all women can possibly collect water in a pot with these holes. So then they tried, by that time I think Mother Yashoda had come back to consciousness, and she said, I'll get it. And then Krishna had to immediately, you know, in the form of the doctor, say, no, mothers can't do it. It won't work. It has to be somebody else. So then Mother Yashoda was ruled out, you know, because Krishna didn't want to put her in an awkward situation. And then word had spread, so because of their pride, especially Kutila, who was Abhimanyu's sister and the daughter of Jatila, she was thinking, well, yes, I'm the most chaste. And you know, because I'm always looking at those who are unchaste, because I'm qualified, because I'm the most chaste, she thought, certainly because she sees the unchaste behavior takes place of somebody. So because of her pride, she thinks that I'm certainly qualified. So both Kutila, she went, she brought a pot, the holes in it, but it didn't work. And same with happened to Jatila. And they became desperate. And they asked, they asked the doctor, you must be expert in astrology. Maybe you could do some astrology and you can tell us who's, must be somebody. Otherwise, how will it be possible? So Krishna informed the doctor, started drawing different things in the sand, doing astrological calculations in the sand. And he said, oh, there is somebody. I could see now. There is somebody that can do it. Her name is Radha. And by my astrological calculations, she certainly is capable of collecting the required ingredients. So because by this time everybody, they were concerned, Krishna still was not conscious. So they called Radha to come, and Radha was immediately thinking, such a wonderful opportunity. I'm getting to render service. She was given the pot. She was told to go to the Yamuna. She placed the pot into the Yamuna water. There's different versions. I think there's one version that says that the doctor also took a clump of Krishna's hair and made a bridge out of Krishna's hair. But the version I got, that's not there in the version they have that I've read. They had to walk across a bridge that was made with Krishna's hair to go to the middle of the Yamuna. And both Jatila and Kutila, when they tried to go, the bridge just collapsed. And they couldn't even get out. And they fell in the water and they had to be rescued. But Radharani, she took the pot with 1,000 holes in it and she placed it in the water, and when she put the pot in the water, she saw Krishna's face smiling in the pot. And she understood that Krishna was present. She saw Krishna in the service she was rendering. And when she put the pot into the water, Krishna took 1,000 fingers and covered all the holes with his 1,000 fingers. Radharani lifted up the pot, because she was there with some of her sakis, and she said, any water coming out? And they were all looking. No. No water. So Radharani, she carried the pot back to the doctor. And mixed the water with the other ingredients the doctor had. And then dispensed the medication with the proper ingredients. And therefore Radharani, she immediately became renowned. Of course, people forget these things quickly. Just suitable. But at that point she became renowned as the most chaste. And this way Krishna arranged to establish Radharani's chastity. Because she was seen, she was most sacrifices. And that's described that in order to experience Mahabhava, that one has to be willing. As Jiva Goswami says, he's explained that this cannot take place without giving up regard for elders and Dharma. Thus Rukmini and others, though having Kladini Shakti, do not have Mahabhava. The women of Raj, portions of Radha, are portions of Mahabhava. But they are not the Swarup of Mahabhava, since they lack the essential portion of Mahabhava called Madan, which only Radharani has. One of the characteristics of Madan, described by Rupa Goswami, Radharani becomes envious of anything she sees that's connected. Somehow she sees everything connected to Krishna, and she becomes envious of what she sees, thinking they have, like the deer, you know, or other flute. And she expresses that. And of course we know that envy is, as Prabhupada talks in his famous letter to Atreya Rishi, talks about envy in the spiritual world. He says that there's no envy with malice, but it exists in its pure form. And then Prabhupada talked about in that famous letter, he was talking about the utopians. Utopians think that there should be no fault. He said, but there's fault in the spiritual world. He said, just like Krishna, he's so captivated by Radharani's beauty that one time he was milking a bull instead of a cow. Who milks a bull? And then he said, just like the gopis, when they heard the sound of Krishna's flute, they took their ornaments and put their clothes on in the wrong places in their body. There's fault. They put their upper portions of their cloth on the bottom, and they put the bottom portions of their cloth on the upper portions of the bottom. And they only decorated only one eye. They couldn't finish. And Prabhupada was describing his fault. He said, even once a gopi, Prabhupada didn't mention that in the letter, but there is the example in Nectar Devotion of a gopi was once describing how Krishna couldn't have been too agitated by this gopi. Another gopi was saying, if he was agitated, why did he draw such straight lines on her forehead? If he was agitated, he could never have drawn straight lines on her forehead. They would have been crooked. So she was speaking in a way that, finding fault. That's one of the symptoms is described of Madanaika Mahabhava, Radharani. She becomes envious. But we can understand that. You know, there's no malice. It's just that she's feeling so much separation that she sees everybody. They can enjoy Krishna and I can't. So they are not the Swarup of Mahabhava, since they lack the essential portion of Mahabhava called Madan. Rivers, streams, and ponds, though bodies of water, are not like the ocean. This is the position of Radha's Mahabhava. I'm not going to get to the qualities. I still haven't, this is only the second verse. But anyways, I'll just finish this commentary. The highest suffering for the women of Raj most respectful to rules is rejection by their authorities and relatives, even Krishna. When the gopis came, when Krishna called them by the flute, what did Krishna do? He preached Dharma. What are you doing here? A woman should never respect a husband. Disrespect a husband, excuse me. Even if he's obnoxious, shouldn't disrespect a husband. Excuse me. What else did he say? He said, you should go home. Your children are waiting for you. Your husbands are waiting for you. You're putting them in distress. You should be following Dharma. If you want to please me, then serve my form. Worship my form. Think of me. Speak about me. You should go back and perform your Dharma as wives, as mothers, children. You've left them. So it's described here that the highest suffering for the women of Raj was of Raj, most respectful to rules, is rejection by their authorities and relatives. Not, this is said, the highest suffering, not the pain of fire or death. Higher suffering is rejection from their authorities, from their elders. Higher suffering. But they're willing to experience a higher suffering, which is even higher than death, or pain by fire, because they know it's for Krishna's pleasure. And that's what he says. Their relationship with Krishna, though they are aware that this will result from their relationship with Krishna, their relationship with Krishna gives happiness. This is the highest level of rag. Taking shelter of that level, Anurag operates and becomes Mahabhav. Mahabhav commences and becomes visible in the women of Raj. It is not possible for this to manifest in the queens of Dwarka. Why? They're chaste wives. They're always there to cook for their husband. They're always there to render service to the husband. They're chaste by the gopis. Again, we should hear this in the proper. The tendency is, those of sahajas, they think, oh, just see, I can come to the highest platform, and where a dharma becomes dharma. They don't know my exalted position. No. Taking shelter of that level, Anurag operates and becomes Mahabhav. Mahabhav commences and becomes visible in the women of Raj. It is not possible for this to manifest in the queens of Dwarka. Pointing out these women, Uddhava said in amazement, this is what Uddhava's statement says, Ya duscha jamsvajanam arya patam chahitva. These ladies of Raj abandoned their families and their advanced religious principles, even though to do so is very difficult. That is the end of verse 3. So, Artik has been done? It's 2 o'clock. We're supposed to honor Prasadam at 12. So, we can read more maybe a little bit later. I can say probably quite confidently that after the feast, I will not be capable to continue immediately after the feast. And we can end here. I apologize to those devotees on the other end if there was no translator, because I don't know if he was there or not. These things are beyond my... There was a translator. Oh, really? Okay. I don't deal with these things anymore. I'm renouncing. Okay. So now it's time for a feast, and I apologize to the devotees. I can't translate the feast for you either. Maybe someday. Taste and aroma and everything else will manifest through the cyberspace. but I don't think it's quite at that level yet. But you can take a picture. Sabyasachi, take a picture or and send it to somebody, I don't know, so they can see Radharani's feast, because it's been offered to her already. And of course Radharani, she has the benediction from Durvasa Muni that whatever she cooks will be like ambrosia. And she probably went in the kitchen to help, because she's not interested in anything except this Krishna's remnants. So in fact, even there's that pastime when Radharani was given first grain. And everyone was waiting to see where she would go. It just so happened, Mother Jasoda, she always kept some sweet rice. And she was there. She always kept some sweet rice offered to Krishna. It was always there for him, because she was also present. So when Radharani was going for her first grain, she went over to the pot, she stuck her hand in the pot, and she took some of the sweet rice that Krishna had taken from the pot that Yasoda had given to Krishna, thereby establishing that she won't take anything but Krishna's remnants. So I hope it was offered in this appropriate way, and hopefully Radharani assisted the cooks in their very wonderful plum preparations. Nice, also very nice decorations, plum, very suitable for the occasion. So everything, take a picture, it's been offered, and show it to the devotees, and I'll tell them how it tastes afterwards. So we can end here and move into our next stage of a Radhastami festival. Jai Shri Radhe. Sabyasachi, you want to do it? Jai Shri Radhe. Very. Okay, what are you doing?
Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Hey,
hey, hey. Shyam. Hey, Krishna. Hey.